Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Joshua Shea, a self-admitted porn addict that had the life everyone dreamed of until he got busted for it and spent some time in jail. Now, his mission in life is to help not just the addicts themselves, but also the families of the addicts to overcome this addiction and to get back to a normal life, normal relationships, because it is an addiction. Just like alcohol addiction, just like drug addiction, this is an addiction that is pervasive in today's society. Now, he wrote a book a couple years ago about the addiction nobody will talk about, but recently he has just published a book for the spouse of the porn addicts called He's a Porn Addict, Now What? And we've been discussing that book. If you missed any of yesterday's episode, go back and catch up because we don't have time to cover all the things we talked about again. But let's jump right back into the interview now with Joshua Shea.
How about that question about watch movies with nudity in it from now on? Because I know as a former alcoholic, I can't even, have a sip of anything. I have never tempted myself with doing it, just to see what would happen type thing. Yeah. Personally, I just don't even want to go down that road.
Right. Right. Well, with drinking, I always tell myself, I know that I could go back to drinking and it would be fine for a year or two. Mm-hmm. It would be fine just long enough to fool myself that right. I could have more.
That's how I am. Yep.
Yeah. So never have another one. With the nudity question, it is individualized, but I share my story, which is early on, the answer was absolutely no, because I had a tendency where if I went to the movie theater, even if I was watching TV at home and I saw a particularly good-looking actress, I would, make a mental note of who she was. And then I'd rush off to the internet, and there are a bunch of different websites that are databases for actresses. So I could look up where she had been nude in a film and go find a video clip of that. And that was one of my little habits that I would do. So, I specifically had to stay away from that for a while. And cognitive behavioral therapy really helped with me with that, where you constantly are examining your behavior and examining outcomes of your behavior. And I noticed about 6-8 months ago that I went to a movie with my son. I don't even remember what it was. And there was a very pretty girl in a bikini walking by. And my son actually said to me, "Wow, she's hot," because he's 16, 17. Mm-hmm. So, that's what he thinks about. And I was like, "Yeah, she is." And it occurred to me right at that moment that I didn't care if I knew what movie she was in or any of that. I was like, it took me years, but I kind of reprogrammed myself. And now if I will not, have the movie channels in my house,
right?
Because I don't want that to come across. But if I'm at the movies or, there's some nature documentary or something on and, I see a stray breast or something like that, that doesn't really phase me at this point, but it would have early on. Right. And we also stress that, that may not be his thing. There are a lot of different pornography addicts out there, and nudity in films may never have been an issue for him. And if it has never been an issue for him, it probably won't moving forward. But you may not want to tempt fate. And like I said, we removed the movie channels from our house, and that was enough for me. I also had to, condition myself to not go on the internet and look for that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was a matter of, sitting down and being like, okay, do not go to this website. If you go to this website, you can get in trouble. You don't want to go down this road. And you say that to yourself enough times, it almost becomes muscle memory to the point where I don't say it to myself anymore. I just sit down in front of my computer and do my work or do a show like with you. And that's that. My computer no longer represents a haven of pornography for me. And that's, you know, that's ultimately what recovery has to be, is that you move to a different mindset in your life. So yeah, it depends on the guy, but don't tempt fate.
Yeah. Amen. What other types of questions do you answer in your book?
You know, like I said, you know, it's kind of all over the place. We talk a lot about relationships. You know, there's a question that I really liked, you know, if I stay with him, does it mean I'm in an abusive relationship? You know, and things from, you know, sometimes guys who are confronted will absolutely embrace the fact that they are a porn addict, and it's like a relief being found out. Whether they come to the woman and admit that they are, or the woman finds out, they're just thrilled that it's kind of out of the closet. Then there are a lot of men who will deny, 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 and that's a much tougher situation. We go into that area, you know, where men deny and then continue with the issue, and we talk about what women should do at that point. You know, what are boundaries? How do you set up ultimatums? How can, you know, can I get him into counseling or therapy? How do I do that? What should I expect out of that? So there's a fair amount dedicated to the partner who finds herself dealing with a less than cooperative partner.
Yeah. When someone comes out with, you know, it's discovered that this is an addiction that they have, I guess there's two different avenues. Either, you know, maybe the wife somehow finds out about it, or in your case, there's a knock on the door and then everybody finds out about it. How does someone, the addict, and then also the partner, what is the best way of trying to deal with what has just happened?
Well, it's dealing with it together, but also dealing with it individually. This is one of those things where it probably hasn't snuck up on you. It's probably been there for a very long time, and it's probably caused more problems than you realize, both individually and together. You need to get into separate therapies. Usually the porn addict will get in with a CSAT, certified sex addiction therapist. But the woman needs a decent talk therapist. I usually suggest going to see an LCSW to really deal with what has happened to her on a traumatic level. Now, some women, it absolutely crushes them and the marriage cannot be saved. Some women just need to talk this out and get through it. But even, you know, such as the case of my wife, I think she only did therapy for about 3 or 4 months to get through this. You need to deal with the emotions, and even the emotions you may not recognize you have, and even the problems you may not realize you have. With my wife, once I had been sentenced, she recognized that she had actually gained about 120 pounds through this whole ordeal because she was taking care of me and she was taking care of the kids. And her trauma and her grief was, you know, on display through eating. Mm-hmm. And she went and she did the lap band program at a local hospital and ended up losing all that weight and a little bit more. That's what she needed to do for her recovery from my situation. So there needs to be recovery for both people. And once you can get a footing to it, that's when I think that you should go to a couples therapist and just talk things out. You may not need to be there very long. You know, if you aren't looking at divorce, if you get along fairly well, this may not be a giant marital issue where the marriage is falling apart. For other people, they need to be in marriage counseling for a very long time. Everybody is individualized. But, you know, in the book, we both stress that professional help is an absolute must to this. There are other things you can do. The addict can go to 12 steps. He, you know, There are online forums to support both the addict and the partner. There's a lot of extracurricular things that can be done. And I think on both sides, fellowship is important to have other people who have been through this. But you've got to talk to a professional. You've got to really understand what's going on. And unfortunately, we don't understand most of the time. We just go on our base instincts. We just go on those emotions that are bubbling on the surface. And I think one of the themes of this book is when this all goes down, take a giant step backward and survey the situation. Don't make any rash decisions. You know, don't listen to your best friend who you know is going to take your side. Just try to chill out and try to figure out the best route to go. Those are the relationships that survive, are the ones that if you can put the emotion on pause, or not even on pause, but just temper it for a moment and look at things logically, you can usually figure out the best way to go. And the truth is, the best way sometimes is divorce. The best way sometimes is ending the relationship, especially if he absolutely refuses to ever face any of his issues, if he doesn't care what you think, if he's not going to follow, you know, your boundaries, you know. Relationships unfortunately fall apart. You can't force anybody to get better. Right. But if I believe that a female partner who, and especially a long-term wife, she can shock the system. Because I think most men of addiction, and I'm sure you're with your alcohol would agree with this, that you never love the alcohol more than that other person. You never love the porn more than that other person. It becomes your coping method. It becomes, you know, you tell yourself you need to survive to get through this, but when your back's against the wall, you recognize that you actually need that other person in your life even more. And I think that we really try to get across in this book is that, you know, the partner's job early on, even though she's suffering, if she wants to help that guy, she needs to kind of shock the system and jumpstart his recovery, because he's clearly not going towards it on his own. Right. Sometimes that's successful, sometimes it's not.
Amen. Amen. What about kids in the family of the porn addict when this comes out into the open? Do you have any tips for them? Maybe that's your next book. I don't know.
Yeah, no. We actually do talk about it in this book. The first thing that we talk about is making sure that everybody is safe, that, you know, he hasn't exposed them to any pornography or any other, you know, behaviors that might be bad. If the situation is safe, recognize that just because you now know that he's an addict, it doesn't make the situation unsafe. And we talk about really an age-appropriate way of doing this, and we talk about a household-appropriate way of doing this. There are 11 and 12-year-olds who absolutely could handle this kind of news and who are very aware of what's going on in their household. And there are 15 and 16-year-olds who have no idea what's going on in their household and emotionally couldn't handle it. So you kind of have to know your kids a bit. One of the things that Tony mentions in his book is that a lot of times he's seen the children of his patients come in, and these patients will often say to him, I think that either my parents are stupid because they don't see that this problem's going on, or they think I'm stupid and they won't talk to me about it. So, you know, understanding that kids are, you know, brighter than we give them credit for, and are, you know, more intuitive than we give them credit for, it's important that you handle things the way that you've handled them in the past. If you're an open family, it's probably a discussion that needs to happen. And if you're kind of closed off and you don't share any issues or problems or negative things with them, maybe you don't. And then as for adult children who are outside of the house, you know, think long and hard before you share that with them. There's probably no upside to sharing that with them at that point in everybody's life. You know, it's one of these things where, again, it's a family by family question. You know, with me, I didn't have a choice. Right. Because it was in the newspaper, you know, that day. It was on TV news that day. So we had to handle it, you know, basically in an age-appropriate way, because my kids were both young, we generally shielded them from most of our, you know, financial issues or anything else that was going on. And we just left it at, you know, I looked at some pictures you're not supposed to look at. For my son and my daughter, who I think was 13 at the time, my wife had a separate conversation with her about pornography and why people look at it, because they hadn't had that conversation yet. So, you know, it's important that the kids are not left out in the cold, that there's some communication there, because things are going to change in the house no matter what. And they should be given a heads up about it.
Yeah. Amen. When this comes out into the open like that, what do you recommend the first steps that can be taken to help? I guess, first of all, the porn addict and then the partner. What should be the one of the first things that they do?
Well, if there is a desire to try to keep the relationship alive, you know, whatever that looks like, or however you end up trying to keep it alive, the first thing, and this is the hardest thing of all, the first thing that I urge the partner is try not to judge. Because if you begin to judge, whether you're judging the material that he's looking at, and odds are if he's an addict, he's looking at some really extreme stuff, stuff that, you know, would curl most people's toenails. It's probably not simple man on woman stuff. Try not to judge what he was looking at, because that doesn't necessarily reflect who he is. Much like an alcoholic, you know, starts with beer, goes to wine, goes to hard stuff, a porn addict needs to see more extreme material as their addiction moves along, because they build a tolerance to it. And much like any other addiction, you've got to hit those dopamine receptors, and straight ahead sort of vanilla porn doesn't do that. So understand that what he's looking at doesn't reflect who he is. Try not to judge him that way. And then try not to judge this as a moral failing as a husband. If you believe that, keep it to yourself silently. Share that with your therapist. Maybe you can even share that down the road with him. But in this moment, when this has all come out, he's probably feeling very unsafe. He's probably feeling very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You need to try to create a safe space for him. Your home should be a safe space for him. Even though he has betrayed you, or you feel like he's betrayed you, even though this horrible thing came out, you're still probably going to be his number one source of support. Mm-hmm. And he's going to feel like he needs to have you there. And yes, this is asking a lot from you. Yes, this is putting a lot on your shoulders. But if you want the relationship to survive, what you're going to find out is at the very beginning, the heavy lifting is done by the partner once he gets into a modality of recovery. He'll have to do the heavy lifting. He's the one who's got to get over this thing. He's the one who's going to be dealing with this the rest of his life. But again, it's you shocking the system. It's you who has to do the heavy work up front. As far as a porn addict himself, if you know, if confronted, the natural feeling is often to say, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. But you know, and you're saying you didn't do it usually out of shame, out of embarrassment, out of not wanting to get into details about what it was you were looking at. And a lot of times it's subconsciously because you know there's something deeper going on there. Like I said earlier on, 90 to 94% of porn addicts, depending on the study you look at, have some unresolved trauma. Even if they think they don't, they get into therapy and find out they certainly do. That was my case. It's tough to embrace the idea something's wrong. And the quicker you embrace the idea something is wrong, the quicker that you can begin the healing. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to call you out as a porn addict if you don't have some kind of issue there. You know, nobody's ever called me out as a gambling addict. Nobody's ever called me out as a heroin addict, because there's absolutely no reason to, because I don't give off any signs that I am. But there were people who definitely knew I was an alcoholic. And, you know, my wife will even tell you now, she knew that I looked at pornography. She just didn't have any extent how bad it was, because the alcohol was what really presented itself as the main problem. So the quicker you can embrace the need for recovery, or the quicker you can embrace the need to address the problem, you know, you don't worry about recovery immediately. get in with a professional, get some research done, jump on the internet, look up, you know, pornography addiction, read about the symptoms, just start to wrap your arms around what the problem is. Yeah. And then you can work on the solution after you understand the problem.
Amen. You know, because this is a ministry podcast, what about talking to your pastor? I know that may be a dangerous road to go down, since most pastors are not licensed therapists, correct?
Absolutely. And again, that's like I said, my dad was reading this and saying, you know, every clergy member should read this, because they're going to be dealing with these issues if they're not already. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a, like any other addiction, you know, there are some similarities, but unlike, you know, every other addiction, there are some differences. And if you're not equipped to deal with them, as a clergy member would not, if I was a clergy member, I would try to not give any real technical advice. What I would try to do is, you know, counsel that, you know, as the male or as the addict, you need to try to get some help, some specialized help. Mm-hmm. As the wife or the victim of the porn addiction in the relationship, you know, you need to go get some help too. And you need to reflect upon what each other meant to each other in the beginning. And, you know, understand that this is not God smiting you. Understand that, you know, you cannot pray away a medical condition. Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate you can't, but if somebody has cancer, or, you know, if your kid falls off his bike and smashes his head in the driveway, you don't sit there and pray the condition away. You get them some help. Right. And that's what really needs to be done. So that's what we point out here, is that this isn't God testing you. This isn't God telling you that you failed. And I think that's true for, you know, any religion, you know, reading this book. And while spirituality can be a hugely important help to this and a source of strength as you go through this, you still need to address it as the medical condition that it is.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. This is so interesting. I mean, I could probably go through and just ask you every question that's in your book and we just talk about it. But is your book available on Amazon?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's on there now. Again, it's called He's a Porn Addict, Now What? For the first 2 weeks, it was the number one bestseller in sexual recovery section. And it's still doing very well there. It's being embraced very well by both the medical community and partners themselves. We're getting, like I said, it's near perfect feedback. I don't think we have got anything less than a 5-star mm-hmm. review. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping that it gets into the hands of people it needs to get into. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the big bugaboo of this. I don't really care about the 98 cents I make per copy that's sold. Yeah. I can collect cans on the side of the road and make more money than that. I just want to make sure that this book gets into the right hands. Right now it's available in soft cover. Coming up in early 2020, it'll be available on Kindle and in hardcover. And I think that, you know, it's an important resource for the partners, because while we have, you know, 18 to 21 million porn addicts in this country, we've got almost that many partners that kind of live in the shadows, and we need to bring them out and help them as well.
Amen. Amen. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question and get more information, or maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, come check out my website. It is recoveringpornaddict.com. That's recoveringpornaddict.com. I write on there every day, whether it's a story about recovery, about going through my addiction, something about the world in general. I also have a resources page if you are an addict or you're the partner of an addict, how you can get some help. It's kind of a one-stop shop. I also put up all of the different interviews I've done, so people can listen to this one on here for years to come. I think that it's one of the best overall resources out there. If anybody has any questions whatsoever, check out recoveringpornaddict.com, and I'm always available to answer questions for people.
Amen. And I'll put links to all this in the show notes down below as well. Joshua, thank you for taking the time to come back on the program and keep the light shining in this area of darkness. I know it's a sensitive topic, but I appreciate your openness and your frankness in discussing what happened to you and how you're now helping others caught in the web as well.
And again, thank you so much for giving me this time. There are still a lot of podcasts, a lot of radio shows that don't want to touch us with a 10-foot pole, even though they understand that it's a problem. Yeah. They don't want to be part of the solution because it's too squeamish for them. Yeah. And, you know, it's if we cannot talk about pornography, how are we ever going to talk about a problem with pornography? Yeah. This needs to be more in the open. So yeah. Absolute thank you for being one of the people out there who is willing to talk about this.
Amen. Amen. Folks, we all know someone who's walking this path. It may be someone you love. It may be you. But I want you to know that Jesus is the answer no matter what. And that being said, there is a weakness there that most people are not able to overcome on their own. Just like alcoholism, as I mentioned, drug addiction, pornography is a debilitating addiction that affects more than just the person who's the addict. It affects loved ones, friends, and family as well. It can affect the finances of the family. It can even result in jail time, as Joshua knows. Now, get in touch with Joshua Shea. He's been there. He's also been delivered. He knows the process. He knows the pain. He knows the heartache. He knows the embarrassment. He also knows the victory that's possible. So use the links down below to order his books and get in touch with him if you have any questions. I encourage you, do not try to fight this on your own. Get the help that will result in victory. Yes, Jesus is the ultimate victor, but at the same time, sometimes you just need to talk with someone who's been there. Whether that's you or you're the partner of a porn addict, you need to get in touch with Joshua as well. It's not your fault. You need to realize that, as Joshua's explained with us. Get in touch with Joshua Shea at the links down below and start to get the help that you need. Joshua, again, thank you for coming on the program today.
Thank you so much.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Joshua Shea and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.